بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما recite درود شريف اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد This is session 9 in our series Spiritual Warfare The Daily Battle with Shaitan The Quran tells us that we are all at war Inna ash-shaytana lakum aduwwun fattakhidhuhu aduwwa The Quran tells us that Shaitan is your enemy. So declare him your enemy. Treat him like your enemy. So the Quran is telling us that we are at war. This is daily battle ongoing. And for us to win this battle, we need to understand the battle. We need to understand the ground that we're fighting on. We need to understand our opponent, our enemy. We need to understand the enemy's tricks, his tactics, his deceits, the way he attacks us. And this is why we are discussing this today, so that we can become better Muslims. And one key feature, what we've learned, is Shaitan tries to take away your happiness. He wants to see you sad. And yesterday we spoke about one of the ways Shaitan takes away your happiness is by taking away the yesterday that never was. Right? One of the ways Shaitan tries to take away your happiness is by taking away your yesterday that never was. When you fall into the trap of Shaitan, of if only, in Arabic we say low. Like when something's happened, you put your best effort forward. Now, I'm not sure, like we've had 24 hours now on this. Has it helped? Have you come across a scenario since yesterday when we spoke about this? And now because you are more aware, or in nowadays term, more woke, to this trick of Shaitan, were you able to apply this? And not go backwards and start thinking, if only I had done this, then this wouldn't have happened. This is where we need to press the brake. Literally, this is what the hadith is teaching you and me. That as soon as you start saying, if only, Shaitan has attacked you. That's Shaitan right there. We need to know now to stop him right there and not allow him to go any further. Instead, we say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ Allah decreed it. Whatever has happened has happened. I'm not going to wallow in the past. I'm not going to daydream. So one of the ways Shaitan takes away your happiness is by taking away your yesterday that never existed. Meaning, makes you daydream about, if you had taken a different path, then things would have been like this and things would have been like that and you'd be in this different dimension altogether. Whereas in reality, it wasn't even there. So this is one of the tricks of Shaitan. Now today, we are going to move on and we're going to speak about one of the gates of Shaitan. Remember we said that Shaitan has gates, he has nets and he has arrows. He has tricks and he has these major entrance points, these breaches that we have that lead to the heart. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said the example of the human heart is that of a fortress, of a castle. And there are many entrances, gates and breach points that lead to this castle. And if we don't know how to guard these entrance points, these gates, all these breaches that lead to the castle, Shaitan is going to reach our heart and he's going to overtake it and he's going to rule from there. So we have to know how to protect the entrance points, the gates. So far we have spoken about 8 major gates. And for those of you who've missed out on them, you can go back to the playlist that's on YouTube and follow with our previous sessions. We've had 8 sessions already and there's 14 sessions we'll be covering inshallah all together till the end of Ramadan. Today we are going to speak about one gate of Shaitan, and it's one of the major gates. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi. So for our session purpose, we're going to call it gate 9. Shaitan hasn't numbered it gate 9, and Imam Al-Ghazali doesn't number it gate 9. For our session purpose, this is gate 9 for us. Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he says, وَمِنْ أَبْوَابِهِ الْعَظِيمَةِ One of the greatest gates of Shaitan that he enters through to get to your heart is al-mal, wealth. Wealth. This is something he uses, and he goes on to say, فَكُلُّ مَا يَزِيدْ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ الْقُوتِ وَالْحَاجَ فَهُوَ مُسْتَقَرٌ لِلشَّيْطَانِ Anything that is above your need, anything that is excessive and beyond what is your need. This is the area where shaitan starts playing around with you in. What you need, he's not going to bother you in that. KX16GKY. Please, can you remove the car? KX16GKY. So, وَمِنْ أَبْوَابِهِ الْعَظِيمَ الْمَالِ. One of the greatest gates of shaitan, Imam al-Ghazali is saying, is wealth. And he's saying that he tricks you and he plays around with you in that which is beyond what is your necessity. So what you need, that's perfectly fine. It's when you've beyond that. That's the area we have to be very careful in. Again, you're going to think, well, it's not haram. Yes, we didn't say it's haram. This is not about halal and haram here. And we're going to go on to that about halal and haram later on. But in that area, we have to be aware. We have to be more vigilant. We need to know what the tricks of shaitan are and how he deceives people. And he takes them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, you know what? Before we go on to anything, let me just ask you a question. Just for my understanding. Money. What does money mean to you? What is money? Okay, let's make it really simple. When I say the word money, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? I just want you to tell me what comes to your mind. Your mind now. Money. Tell me, what is money? What is money? Come on, fire. Bills. What is money? Independence. What is money? Means to an end. What's money? Tool. What's money? Ease. What's money? Amin bhai? Shaitan. Subhanallah. What's money, guys? Destruction. What is money? Tell me, what's money? Come on, I want more. Security. Okay. Very interesting. This group is very interesting. What's money, guys? What's money? Enjoyment. Okay, wow. What else? What is money? Greed. Okay, what is money? Currency. Okay, a few more. Money is power. Okay, what is money, guys? Come on, tell me, what is money? What does money mean to you? Responsibility. More money, more problems. Astaghfirullah. We're supposed to be speaking about good things and you guys are going back to shaitanic things. Money is the masjid? Subhanallah. Okay, well, I'm going to come back to this. I just want you to see what you guys think. We're going to come back to this, inshallah. So Imam al-Ghazali then goes on to give an example to take us really, really a step forward to understanding this concept more. He says, if you're walking down a path and you were to find 100 dinar. Now, dinar is an old currency. These were real coins. So in our understanding, we're going to say 10 grand. 10K, £10,000. If you're walking down the street, Imam Ghazali is saying this back then. If you're walking down the street and you find £10,000 and you're not aware of the Islamic rulings, you just believe in finders, keepers, losers, weepers. So you just pick it up. Right, this is mine now. Imam Ghazali says, you're walking down the path, you find £10,000, you pick it up, you pocket it. He says that now what's going to happen, that in your heart there's going to arise 100 new desires will arise now of what you can do. Not with that money. He's saying 100 new desires. Up until now, you were fine. You didn't have any desire at all. You picked that up, you pocketed it. Now in your pocket, there is £10,000. Imam al-Ghazali is now saying, now 100 new desires will come in your heart and in your mind. And each one will require £10,000. Each desire is going to require another £10,000. So now, to fulfill your needs and your wants and your desires, how much do you need? How much do you need? To take care of it now, to take care of everything that's coming up and all of these desires, you need much more. A lot of us think, if I get to a certain amount, I'm going to be okay. Don't a lot of us think that, right? Especially those of us who are starting off or in the beginning stages, okay, who've not gone through much grinding yet, and we've not kind of got to where we wanted to in life, we kind of think, you know what, if I get to this figure, everything will be sorted. If I get to that figure, everything will be fine. Once I reach this stage, everything will be taken care of. I won't have anything to worry about. I'll have a bit extra as well. I'll give to the masjid as well. You know, I'll do this. Those of us who've been there before know very well. Does he work like that? It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Imam al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi is saying, you pick up that money, right? Before he picked it up, he didn't have a care in the world. Before he picked that up, he was fine. He was fine. He had a little bit and he had no excessive desires. He was getting along with life. As soon as he picked it up, straight away now, instead of thinking he's wealthy, he's become in need. He is now in need. What he has isn't enough to fulfill his needs and his wants. Can you see? You, on one side, you might think, wow, this guy's loaded. But in reality, some people, they are so poor, all they have is money. Right? You think that if I have more money, then all my problems will go away. But then you're going to have, you have to upgrade, don't you? Right? You have to update. So this is Imam al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayh. Now, when you level up in life, you have to level up in everything. You can't wear the same footwear anymore that you used to wear before, right? Your shoes have to change, your trainers have to change, your trend has to change. The car, you can't drive the same car, right? Now you have to change your car, you have to buy a new house now. The furniture has to be different. You have to shop elsewhere. So once you start leveling up, it doesn't mean that you've got more and everything's going to be taken care of. Your desires, your wants, and your expectations, your hopes and ambitions are going to grow and grow and grow. And this is how it works in life. Until, Imam al-Ghazali says, you carry on in the rat race. How long does this carry on? Where does it take you? The Quran says, Al-Hakum al-Takathur, Hatta Zurtumul Maqabir. Al-Hakum al-Takathur, what has destroyed the people is just wanting more than the other people. Trying to outwin somebody else. How long does this race last for? Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until it reaches you all the way to your grave. May Allah protect us. So this is the major gate Imam al-Ghazali is going to speak about wealth. And like you gave very good answers actually, wealth isn't necessarily bad. It's not a good thing, it's not a bad thing. Wealth is a vehicle. That's what wealth is. Money is a vehicle. And a lot of you gave very good answers that actually describe that in a very good way. And we're going to go to a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that explains this. So first, shaitan will try to get you through this gate and try and enter your heart through the gate of wealth, through money. When money starts, basically, so what we learn, bottom line is, keeping it very short and simple to the point, because I want to move on from here. When money starts coming in, you need to be very alert. Simple. There's nothing wrong with money coming in. When money starts coming in, you start getting more than you already were earning. From wherever it's coming in, as long as it's halal. Whenever money starts coming in, you just need to be more alert. Because that is when shaitan really takes advantage. So at that point, you need to tell shaitan, Shaitan, I've been to this halaqah, I've been to this session, and I know what you're all about. So I'm going to be watching very vigilantly. And I'm going to be there, guarding the gate and making sure that you don't mess me around. So we have to be alert, we have to be aware. Now, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, you know, they said that we faced the fitna of poverty and we passed it. When Allah tested us with poverty, we passed. We did really well. When Allah tested us with money, Sahaba are saying a lot of us didn't do very well. We struggled, some of us failed. When it came to the fitna of, fitna means test. Fitna is not a bad thing. Fitna means a test. And a test can be both. It depends how you fare. So, like we say, wealth is a fitna. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It means it's a test. It's either going to be good for you or it's going to be bad for you, depending on you. It's about you. So, the Sahaba say, Allah tested us with poverty. We did really well. Allah tested us with wealth, we didn't do very well. We struggled, we found it very difficult. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never made dua to become rich. But he never made dua to become poor. He made a middle ground dua. Such a profound dua. What was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dua? He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma ja'al rizqa ala Muhammadin quta. Beautiful dua. Allahumma ja'al rizqa ala Muhammad quta. O Allah, make the sustenance of the family of Muhammad enough. This is what he prayed for. Qut means that which suffices you. It's enough. It's not less. You're not struggling. You're not asking for handouts. You're not depending on other people. You're not having to borrow. No, no, no. And it's not excessive where you're thinking, right, what shall I do with this now? No, it's enough. You're just above the water and you're getting by. Everything's fine. Everything's taken care of. You've got some to give in sadaqah as well. But then it's not excessive. This is qut. That it's you're meeting your needs. You're getting everything paid. You're just on top of things. Allahumma ja'al rizqa ala Muhammadin quta. Beautiful dua. And this was the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the middle path. And we're all facing this. Like the standard that we lived with when we were young, for example, those of us who are a little bit older than the younger ones, when we were growing up, a lot of us might have not had what we have today. But then we're trying to give our children a much better standard and a higher standard of lifestyle than we had when we were young, right? And it's something for us to understand and instill within our children as well, that when you start going above your need, this is when shaitan starts to attack you. So that's when to be very vigilant. When you start going above your need, we know that when we were young, we know that you can get through life with X, Y, and Z. Yes, we want to give our children that little extra. But be mindful that when you go above the need, the level of need, shaitan has much more of a chance of getting to your heart at that stage. Now, it doesn't mean that wealth is bad. And like I told you, we're going to speak about that. Wealth isn't necessarily bad. It's when you go above your need and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, right. Before we go into the next trick, I think it's important to understand that when the Quran mentions money, this is very important to understand before we go and understand the next trick of shaitan. So we've understood the gate, right? The gate is wealth, and especially when you go above your need, shaitan has an upper hand. So be vigilant. Simple. Okay, be vigilant. Now, before we go on to the next trick of shaitan, which is based on a verse of the Quran, what I want you to understand is whenever the Quran speaks about money, the Quran uses the word fadl. 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 Fadl means blessing. Like for example, in Surah Jum'ah, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ. When Jum'ah is over, what does it say? فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Go out. Don't stay in the masjid after Jummah. Go out. وَبَتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Go and seek the fadl of Allah, meaning go and carry on your work. Go and earn your livelihood. There's a lot of barakah in the work that is done immediately after Jummah, because this is the Quran is telling you. And Quran is using the word for money, for wealth, fadl. Not in one place, in many places. So from this we learn that wealth and money isn't necessarily bad. I think some of us, especially those who've grown up with a religious background, we've kind of been fed this thing from a young age that money's really bad, money's really evil, money's corrupt, you shouldn't earn money, you shouldn't try to earn money, you shouldn't get too much money. And then what happens is when such individuals grow up, they run away from money, whereas, as you know, in this world, without earning, you know, by the way, every prophet earned their own livelihood. Prophets earned their own livelihood. They worked very, very hard. And they earned a living by working very hard. So much so, we know the story of Dawud alayhi salam. Time doesn't allow us to go in. But Allah actually inspired him. وَأَلَنَّا لَهُ الْحَدِيدِ أَنِعْمَ الْسَابِغَاتٍ وَقَدِّرْ فِي السَّرْدِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. We don't have time to go into this. But the prophets of Allah, every prophet of Allah, every Nabi of Allah, they worked. And they earn their own livelihood. So this is a wrong thing, because at the end of the day, attached to you are many obligations towards yourself. And if you're married, then towards your wife. If you've got children, towards them. And then to the people around you, to your family members, to your community, and to the larger population of the world. If we're not doing so well, then we're not going to be able to fulfill this obligation. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Talabu kasbil halal faridatun ba'dal farida." To earn a halal livelihood is an obligation after the other obligations. Just like salah is an obligation, fasting is an obligation, zakat is an obligation, hajj is an obligation, having a halal job that earns you an income is also a fard and an obligation. You can't decide, I'm just going to sit at home, I'm not going to work. No, you're not fulfilling. This is an obligation. طَلَبُ كَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيضَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ It's a huge obligation. So, here we learn, before we delve into the next trick, what I want you to understand that Quran has used the word fadl, blessing for wealth and for money. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نِعْمَ الْمَالَ الصَّالِحْ لِلْمَرْءَ الصَّالِحْ How good is good wealth for a good person? Right? If you're a good person, it's not about the wealth. Money isn't good or bad. You get a good person and you get a bad person. If you're good, money's going to be good in your hand. If you're not a good person, right, meaning your actions aren't good, then money's not going to be good with you. This is what it means. So if a person is good, he's righteous, he's pious, you having money, you're going to use it in a good way. You're going to help so many people. Look at Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. He was a billionaire, right? One of the closest companions to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, extremely wealthy. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, extremely wealthy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to a woman who was extremely wealthy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he worked very hard even before he got married and after he got married as well. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa. People wanted to give him from the Baytul Mal. He said, no, show me I want to go and earn my own livelihood. I don't want to sit here and just rely on the benefit system. So this is something that is required, that we earn our livelihood. So first of all, we understand that it's not all bad. Like I said, prophets work to earn a living for themselves. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, I'm just mentioning these things to drive this point home. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, a great sahabi, he's on his deathbed, he's about to pass away, and he wants to give all of his wealth in charity. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm dying now anyway, I want to give all my wealth away. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you can't do that. He said, oh Prophet of Allah, what about half of my wealth? Can I give half of my wealth away in charity? He said, no, you can't do that. He said, okay, can I give a thuluth, a third of my wealth in charity? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, a thuluth, wa thuluthu kathir. He says, even one third is a lot, Sa'ad. You should give less in charity at this time. Don't give all of it away. Do you know what he said after this? This is very important. What did he say after this? Innaka antadhar warathataka aghniya. It's better for you to leave your dependents, your children, or whoever you're leaving behind. It's better for you to leave them rich with money than you giving all of this money away and then they're going for handouts and begging people for money. So this is something, you know, if we've not been prepared for this, if you don't have, what are you going to leave behind for your dependents? You're going to go from the world, you're going to think, okay, I'm going to give everything away. I just live hand to mouth, I don't need anything, I'm okay. No, it's not like that. You go from the world, what are they going to depend on? They're going to go to people, they're going to go and get debts, and they're going to be getting loans, and they're going to be struggling, and they're going to face difficulties. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling a sahabi, it's better for you to leave your family, your dependents in a way that they have something to survive on, rather than them now begging people and relying on handouts. So this is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu is another great sahabi. He narrates a hadith. He said, one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the thing I worry most about you after I pass away. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam telling the sahaba. And this is a message for all of us. He says, the thing I worry most about you is that the world will open up to you. The world and the riches of the world will open up to you. And you'll get everything that you want. We're living in that time now. You can have whatever you want. The world opens up. The riches of the world open up. You can have access to whatever you want. So look at this question. A sahabi asked, أَوَيَأْتِ الشَّرْ بَعْدَ الْخَيْرِ Well, can evil come after khayr? Look what he's saying. He's calling, this was the understanding of the sahaba. The sahabi is calling riches, luxuries of the world, money, wealth. He's calling it khayr because that's how they understood it. In other ahadith, wealth and money is called khayr. Khayr means good. So, and the Quran is calling it fadl. So he asked this question to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that will evil come after good? He's referring to money and wealth. And the Sahaba say, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained silent. He didn't know the answer. It's a good question. It's a good question. Wealth isn't bad, right? For the world to be opened up to you, isn't like, that's a good thing, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained silent. Sahaba say, we just kept looking at him. He was silent. Didn't say a word. Hatta dhananna, until Sahaba say, we thought that revelation is about to come upon him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received revelation. He wiped his blessed forehead. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, where is that person who asked that question? Where is he? I've got the answer for him. So the person came, he said, here I am, Ya Rasul. And the Sahaba say, the way he asked, he seemed happy. So he wasn't going to scold him. We could tell that he's going to give him some good news. He says, Ha ana ya Rasulallah, here I am, O Prophet of Allah. And the person comes forward, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam answered his question. He said, good will not bring evil. Because you asked me the question, will good bring evil? He says, no, good won't bring evil. So if wealth is wealth, it's not good and it's not bad. You can call it good because it's got many benefits. It's what you do with it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, good will not bring evil. Rather, and he gave an analogy, a beautiful analogy. And this came from Wahi, by the way, because he remained quiet. Allah sent an inspiration, sent Jibreel. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells the Sahaba, he says, the example of money is like rain. The example of money is like rain. When the rain comes down, it causes, what does it cause? It causes vegetation to grow. So now there's all vegetation everywhere. And the animals, they come and they eat from it. Some animals eat so much, that they become sick or they die. They just keep eating and eating and eating and eating and eating until either they die or they become extremely sick. But then you've got some other animals who come, they eat from the vegetation and then they go and relax. They come back and eat from the vegetation and go and relax. They come and eat from the vegetation and then they go and relax. They come and eat from the vegetation and then they go and relax. Can you see the difference? They're probably eating the same amount, but it's not in all one go. It's not in a horrible way. It's done in a methodological way. It's done at the right time, at the right place, in the right manner, the way Allah wants us to. So there's nothing wrong with it. He said, money is like rain. When rain falls, it causes vegetation. Some animals come, they eat so much, they become sick or they die. Others come, eat, they relax. They come, eat and relax. They come, eat and relax. And then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ الْمَالَ خَضِرَةٌ حُلْوَةٌ. He says, money is green. He said it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, money is green and it's very sweet. Money is green. And he said, it's very sweet. He's saying it, I'm not saying it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, المال خضرة حلوة. Money is green and it's very sweet. Whoever takes it in the right way, in the halal way, if you earn in the correct manner, and uses it in the right way, two things. One is earning it rightly. Number two is spending it rightly. And we're going to speak about this more as we go along. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, for such a person, نعم المؤون المال. What did he call it? He says, what a good helper money is. He called it المؤون. مؤون means a helper, an assistance, an aid. Talha said, a means to an end. Somebody said security. Somebody said vehicle. All of these things. Yes, that's what wealth is. Okay, if you have over here £50, for example, or £1,000, what is it? What is it? What is it? Can it do anything? No, it's nothing. It's actually nothing. It's an aid. It's a tool. Somebody said a tool. It's a vehicle. It's how you earn it, how you use it. So it's not about having money and not having money. It's about what you do with it, how you earn it, and how you use it. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what a beautiful analogy he has given with the rain. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has said, it's green, it's sweet. And if somebody takes it correctly and spends it correctly, it's the best thing that you can have. نعم المؤون المال. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever takes it in the wrong way and uses it in the wrong way, the same wealth is going to be a witness against you on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah protect us. So, now, once we... All of this was a disclaimer for what the trick of shaitan that we're going to speak about. So I had to speak about this because we've grown up, a lot of us have grown up, especially those in religious circles, have grown up thinking money's really bad, it's evil, it's corrupt, it messes you up. And yes, it can do, but that's not all money's about. It depends on how you use it. So once we understand this, what we realize is money is a blessing. What is it? Isn't it? Is it or not? Who from? Allah. Money is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that we've understood that money is a blessing from Allah, we can switch to the next topic. And the next topic is what? It's an ayah of the Quran. وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَبْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. This is what we're going to speak about now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and give to your relatives, people that are related to you, they have a more right over you. When you're thinking about giving in charity, if there are any relatives of yours that are in need, it's more better or more important, they have more of a right over you than giving it to some random person. So, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ. Give your relatives their rights. وَالْمِسْكِينَ, those who are poor. وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ, those who are travelers. وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. Quran says, do not do tabdhir. I'm going to speak about what this means. Do not engage in something called tabdhir. And then the Quran says, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Those people who carry out the act of tabdhir, they are the siblings of shaitan. Wow. Like Quran, we're speaking about shaitan, right? And the Quran is actually saying, if you carry out the act of tabdhir, you're shaitan's brother. Nothing more, nothing less. You're the brother of shaitan, meaning you are a shaitan. If you're shaitan's brother, then you're a shaitan as well. Now, what does it mean, tabdhir? Allah tells us about certain satanic acts in the Quran so that we don't follow them. So, there are two things that are spoken about here. One is called israf, and one is called tabdhir. Two different words. Some ulama have said that israf and tabdhir are both the same thing, and they use interchangeably. But others are saying, no, there's a difference. Israf is done in halal. Israf means to be extravagant in halal things. So you can buy something for a certain amount, or you can get by with a certain amount, but you decide to go for one which is like 10 times the price, okay, or 3 or 4 times the price. Or you're just being excessive, and we'll go into more details about that. This is israf. This is called being excessive in your wealth, in your spending. And remember, israf isn't just with money. It can be with anything. Sadly, Ramadan is a time where we're supposed to be more conscious of what we are consuming. But I think we do a lot of israf as well. A lot of wastage as well in Ramadan. So we need to be mindful of this. So the one is israf. So we're learning two words today, two Quranic terms. Number one, israf. Israf is being excessive in halal things. And the second one is tabdhir. Tabdhir. Tabdhir is being not even excessive. Tabdhir is spending in haram. Even if it's a pound, 10 pound, 100 pound, 1,000 pound. Like, you shouldn't be spending there anyway. Money should not be going in that avenue anyway. That's tabdhir. If you're spending money, if you're splashing money in something that's haram, then you're a brother of shaitan. Because even a pound is excessive there. It doesn't have to be thousands. Do we understand? Up until now, generally, we always thought tabdhir also means to be extravagant. No. Extravagance, yes. In halal, you can be extravagant in those things that are permissible, but you go beyond the limit. That's israf. Tabdhir is spending in haram. Now, why is it such a horrible sin? Why is it so serious? Both of these things, and they use interchangeably. Why is israf and tabdhir so horrible that Quran declares you a sibling of shaitan? Why? Why? You tell me. Exactly. MashaAllah. So you're abusing the blessing of Allah. The whole reason why we went through the disclaimer is to understand this is a blessing. Money is a blessing. Wealth is a blessing. Your resources are a blessing. Islam teaches us all of these things. You know, we get really like flabbergasted when we come across all of these new schemes that they release and new campaigns that they have, and we think, oh wow, and awesome, and being green and eco. And you know, Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already spoke about these things. Maybe you're not using the same words, but here we find an example of this. So this is a blessing of Allah. And if we are being extravagant and wasting one of Allah's blessings, this is what Shaitan did as well. He had an opportunity. He had many blessings of Allah, but he didn't make use of them. Rather, he wasted his blessings, his opportunities. And this is why a person becomes known as a sibling of Shaitan. Now, tabdhir comes from the word badr. And badr, anybody in Arabic who can tell me badr? What does it mean? Ba-dhal-ra. Badr. What is badr? Not badr. Ba-dhal-ra. Yes? Yes, yazra, al-badr, meaning seeds. Yes, badra is seeds. Seeds, badr comes from the word seeds. Now, what are you supposed to do with seeds? We plant them. Can you plant it anywhere? Can I plant them on this table? No. Can I plant them in the carpet? No. Can I just, I need to plant them in the right way, in the right place. I have to check the soil, I have to make sure it, look after it, take care of it. Planting it in the right way. Allah calls the people who spend in haram or are excessive, He calls them mubadhirin, meaning basically you've got such good seeds and just throwing them in random places. Throwing the seeds out in is anything going to grow? Is it going to be beneficial for you? Will you get any prosperity from it? No, not at all. This is why the Quran uses mubadhirin, people who throw seeds randomly on dirt. Like, this is not going to bring you anything. Why are you wasting these opportunities? Allah's given you an opportunity. Use it in the right way. Plant the seed where it's supposed to be planted. If you're throwing it on haram, you're losing out big time. You're not gaining anything from it. This is a waste of Allah's blessing. This is the meaning and why we have this. Now, sadly, we're living our time again where it's become normal, right? To waste, to spend on random things. Pop culture now, and the lyrics that you have, that's what it's getting you to do, right? And it's interesting we speak about this now, because in another ayah of the Quran, although it's not related to what we're speaking about now, but I think because it's to do with Shaitan, one of the ayat of Quran regarding Shaitan, Allah tells Shaitan, وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ. One of the tools Shaitan has to attack human beings and Muslims in particular is his voice. That you try and excite them and fight them with your voice. And the ulama say that the meaning of this are the lyrics. The lyrics. Now, this is not a discussion about music, whether it's halal or haram. That's not what we're talking about now. We're talking about the lyrics. The lyrics of pop culture. The lyrics of some of these songs that we end up reciting. Do you know how you're supposed to recite the Quran? Right? How do you recite the Quran? Have you seen people reciting Quran? Right? People who are hafiz of the Quran, people who are attached to the Quran. You might see them walking around. They're constantly reciting. The recitation is continuous, and you see them reciting. Sometimes they're just like this, and they're just going like they're reciting the Quran, right? And similarly, those of us who are into this pop culture, at times you won't even realize what you'll be doing with these lyrics. What will you be doing? You're reciting them. It's a recital. And someone will nudge you, come on, man, like, shut up. Like, do you realize what you're saying? You don't even realize what you're saying. And most of the time, it's filth. Most of the time, it's shaitanic. Most of the time, it's telling you to do things, and it's giving you these, planting these ideas and wasawis of shaitan, which are totally anti-Islam. But we don't even realize. This is one of the tools of Shaitan. So why did I go into this? Because this kind of culture teaches us and promotes this idea of just spending on things randomly, on anything. It doesn't matter where you throw your money. It doesn't matter what you do with your life. You're just a free spirit. It doesn't really matter. You're not answerable to anyone. There's no concept of heaven. There's no concept of hell. There's no concept of the afterlife. It's all about me. It's only me. Nothing but me. And I'm free. And what this is what it's... You don't realize, but this is the impact it has on us. So, coming back to where we started, Israf is spending on good things, but going beyond the limit. And one of the reasons why we end up in Israf is... Why would you say? Why do we end up in Israf? Yeah, so what's the reason? One of the reasons. Why do we spend... Why are we excessive sometimes? Okay, showing off. To be happy. To please others. To impress others. Okay, these are some of the things. When we were young, we used to say, you're keeping up with the Joneses. Nowadays, it's another family I'm not going to mention. We're in the month of Ramadan. It's a pure place. Let's not spoil the atmosphere. But everybody's thinking about it now. Astaghfirullah, what have I done? So, you know exactly what I'm saying. So, it's trying to keep up with the other people, with the other families, with the famous ones, influencers. And we end up engaging in Israf generally nowadays because of this. It's one of the reasons. Not the only reason, but one of the reasons. And tabdhir, remember what we said, tabdhir is not even, it's not even halal to spend there, regardless of how much. And do you know why these things are really bad? The ulama have spoken about this. Why is Israf and Tabdir? Because you could think, it's my money, I can do what I want with it. If I spend, right, £300 on a t-shirt, like, who are you to tell me? Right, you're telling me I can go and buy a t-shirt for £20, for £30, for £50. If I want to go and splash £300 on a t-shirt, £500 on a t-shirt, okay, if I want to go and buy a pair of trainers for £800, right, and you're wearing them for £20, like, it's my money, I can do what I want with it. The thing is, when we engage in Israf, when we engage in tabdhir, what happens is, this doesn't stop there. This becomes a habit. And then what happens is, all your money gets tied up. Then when it's time to help people, people will look up to you because they know you're a guy who Allah has blessed, you're sorted. How often has it happened? You've gone to ask somebody for help. And they go, sorry bro, my money's all tied up. I can't help you. And this is very common. I can tell you, this is very, very, very common. And the question does arise, hang on a second, this guy's minted, this guy's loaded. He's got so much money, I'm sure he's got like £100 just to borrow me. I'm not asking for much. But really, this actually happens. This actually happens because going right to the beginning, what Imam Ghazali said, yesterday you had nothing. You're walking down the path and you found 100 dinar, meaning 10K, £10,000, and you just pocketed it. Even before you spend the first pound, 100 ideas have come to your head. For each idea, you need another 10K for each one. Because this is what it does to you. We're not saying it's bad. It's what you do with it could be good or bad. So for us to be very, very vigilant and aware. Vigilant and aware. So one of the reasons why Israf and Tabdhir is very bad is because there are responsibilities that you have towards your subordinates, for example. There are responsibilities you have towards other people of the world. Who is going? This is why Allah, you know, we're not, Islam isn't like a socialist culture where everyone has the same thing. Allah has created some people with more, some people with less. The whole reason Allah gave you more and others less is so that when they're in need, you give to them. But if you're going to be doing Israf, you're going to fall short of the obligation. When the time arises for you to help and assist other people that are in need, they will look up to you. And you should feel privileged that Allah has placed people in the world that when it's their time of need, they come knocking on your door. You should feel privileged that you're in a situation that someone can come to you and you can assist them. However, if we engage in Israf and Tabdhir, we're not going to be able to assist them. Now, let's continue. Israf is also used in other areas. Islam teaches us that Israf and being extravagant is not just about money. A Sahabi by the name of Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, one day he's making wudu. And he's making wudu, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to him, مَا هَذَا الْإِسْرَافِ يَا سَعَدْ وَمَا هَذَا الصَّرِفْ يَا سَعَدْ Sa'ad, what's this excessiveness that you're doing in wudu? Now, he's basically saying to him, why are you wasting water when you're making wudu? Now, before we go on to understanding this better, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us awareness about the resources that we use. This is a very important topic. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us a very special type of awareness about the resources that we use. At the moment, we live in a disposable culture, right? You might think like stores such like Primark, etc. People think, oh, it's really good because they've got cheap stuff. But what's the idea of it? The idea behind such brands is you buy cheap stuff, you wear it once, you throw it away, and you go and get another one. Because every time you go there, they have a new, like they're changing, right, every so often. So in one sense, you might think, oh, this is cheap, but not really. Because, so this disposable culture that we're in, like you use things and you throw them away. You use it once, you throw it away. Use it once, you throw it away, right? It never used to be like that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn from the seerah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam developed a very intimate relationship with the things that he used. His resources, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam developed a very intimate relationship with the items that he used. Imagine if that was his relationship with his items, imagine the relationship with the people that he had around him. If he had such an intimate relationship with his items, imagine what kind of relationship he had with the people that were around him. So much so, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a cup and he gave the cup a name. It was so such an intimate relationship. He had one cup and that cup had a name. He had one bowl, that bowl had a name. This is an intimate relationship. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he named his items. And this is the intimate relationship he had. We use it, we throw it away. We use it, we throw it away. And, you know, the culture that we have now, like, we already know, like, even when we buy it, we know if I don't like it, it's going to go straight on Marketplace, right? Facebook Marketplace, eBay. It's just going to go straight on there, and it's fine. I'm just getting it now, I'll see how it is. We buy with the intention of getting rid of it straight away. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that if you're eating in a plate or in a bowl, right, and once you finish your food, if you lick it clean, right, that bowl is going to give you dua. That plate is going to give you dua. You're chucking it in the bin, right? We're throwing our plates in the bin. That plate's supposed to give you dua. Now, if we're going to have this culture, I'm not saying don't use disposable plates. We all use them. But I'm just trying to bring context of israf. You've probably seen those of you who watch the Turkish serials of Ertuğrul and others, right? When they sit down for their meals, what do? They pull out that wooden spoon from their pockets. That's like your personal spoon. Like they use that everywhere they go. And this was the culture that they were mindful of their resources that they had. The resources that they had, they were very mindful of them. Of course, we're going to understand it in our context. We can't go to an extreme level. You're not going to shut down anyone that's using disposable plates. But what I'm trying to say is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he created this awareness regarding the resources that we use. So this particular sahabi was using water and he was using more than he needed. So he said, oh Sa'ad, what's this wastage that you're doing? And we can think about our 1 hour showers that we have. Yeah? Sometimes we're in there. You can take a shower in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, okay, 20 minutes. But being in there for 1 hour, okay, you might think, well, my dad's paying for it. He's paying the bills, or the water's free for some people. No, that's not the point. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said over here that, and he had this with all the resources around him. He had a very intimate relationship with certain trees. Like he went and hugged certain trees. He had an intimate relationship with the mountains. Whenever he would pass the Mount of Uhud, هَذَا جَبَلٌ يُحِبُّنَا وَنُحِبُّهُ. This is a mountain. We love this mountain. This mountain loves us. He had an intimate relationship with animals. Animals would come and cry to him. And he would speak to them. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He taught us awareness of the resources that everything around you is a blessing. Everything makes the dhikr of Allah. Everything is a ni'mah of Allah. Learn to see it as a blessing. It's not just disposable. We don't just waste. This is a shaitanic thing to do, to disregard the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learn to appreciate the resources Allah has given you. So coming back to the story, the sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I be excessive in wudu? How can I be excessive in wudu? I'm doing wudu, like what's so excessive about doing wudu? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if you are at a flowing river, if you're at a flowing river, the river's flowing, like there's no shortage of water there, there's no bills there, it's free water. Even at a flowing river, it is not allowed to wash more than 3 times. This would be sinful. Not allowed. Even at a this is israf. This is israf. This is being excessive. And on this topic, my intention wasn't to speak on this, but because this topic has come up and it's quite common, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that for wudu, there is actually a shaitan. A special shaitan for wudu. He's actually got a name as well. His name is Walahan. Walahan is a shaitan specifically attacks you at the time of wudu. And what's his purpose? His purpose is for you to be a person of israf. Use more water than necessary. He keeps telling you, oh, it's still dry. It's still dry. Oh, you didn't wash it properly. You didn't wash this properly. Oh, you forgot your masah. You forgot to wash your feet. Listen very carefully. The only cure to get rid of this is to start washing only once. If you ever experience this doubt in your wudu, you should not wash your limbs more than one time. I'm telling you this. I'll take the responsibility for it. You should not wash your limbs more than, and this is also sunnah. Washing once is, it's not just 3 times. You look at Bukhari, look at other hadith. To wash the limbs once is also sunnah. To wash twice is also sunnah. 3 is maximum. 3 is maximum. If you are a person who faces doubts in wudu, and you think, I see some brothers in the wudu area, like they're there, they're like this. They're there for 10 minutes just again and again. Do you know, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, brothers who came with us now, we were in Medina Munawwara, they showed us the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mud. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would make wudu with one mud. What's that? 750 mil of water. So this is 500 mil, so just a bit more than this. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam would make wudu. And do you know what? It's actually possible. It's doable. Those of you who have tried it, it can be done. So in those days, what they would do, they would take the water, and even now many people make wudu like this. You take the water. We've got this habit, we just open the tap, right? And we sit there first of all, stretch ourselves a little bit, right? We have to wait till it comes hot, isn't it? It's still coming out cold. It's not the right temperature. You stretch yourself a little bit, take your hat off, put it aside. If you've got glasses, you put them aside. And then, you know, you stretch your legs a little bit. And then you start, right? And then stretch out for the dispenser, get some soap in there. 20 seconds, obviously, NHS said 20 seconds. By that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wudu would have been finished. Wudu is something, you do it quickly. It's not ibadah maqsooda. Salah is ibadah maqsooda, meaning the objective of the ibadah is your salah. Wudu is a means, is a tool. You don't spend hours doing your wudu. Wudu should be very quick. Yes, you get everything wet, but it should be quick. Walahan's job is to make sure that all your time gets wasted in wudu. So much so that even after you've spent 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and you've gone and done it 5 times, even then you won't be satisfied. And what are you going to do? You're going to go and do it again. You fell into the trap of shaitan. So, when you're a person that you get doubts in regards to your wudu, the only cure for you is to not listen to those doubts. You need to tell shaitan, do you know what, shaitan? I'm not going to wash it again. Yeah, okay, it's dry, fine. He's going to then tell you, you know what, salah won't be accepted. You're going to become a kafir. On the day of judgment, Allah's going to ask you, this is all from shaitan. Shaitan knows the whole playbook inside out. He knows how to mess with your brain. He knows how to give you the hardest time. Your job is not to listen to him. Not to listen to these doubts, these wasawis of shaitan. And like I said, the only cure to this, anybody Anybody that's facing this, and you can pass my words to anybody else as well. If you are a person that gets doubts in wudu, start washing once. You wash your hands once. Wash your face once. Wash your arms once. Wash your feet once. Your wudu is done. Come and do your salah. I guarantee your salah will be accepted tomorrow in the court of Allah. 100%. Do you know why? Do you know the taps that we use? Before, people would make wudu from this amount of water. So what they'd do, they'd take a little bit of water, right? You've probably seen some people do wudu like this. Wudu's done, right? You take a little, you gargle. You take some water, you wash your face, right? Yeah, three times with a bottle like this, I understand. When you put the taps on in the wudu area in our houses, the amount of water that comes out, that's equal to like 100 of these bottles. And you're still saying that something's dry. Right? You've been putting your arm in and out like this for the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and it's still dry. Is that even possible? Is that even possible? It's not possible at all. Similarly, people who have this doubt when they're washing in the bathroom as well, right? One lota is enough. But you're filling 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you come out, oh, still impure. Again, my advice to you, do not exceed one lota. Maximum for you, one lota. If you go beyond one, I guarantee you, you will always suffer with these doubts. This is the only way. This is shaitan, pure shaitan, nothing else. If you want to overcome this, you need to kick the shaitan out of your life. Don't let him get to you. He's getting to you. You're allowing him to get to you. So you need to ensure you don't let him get to you. Okay, so one hadith very beautifully helps us to understand our economics, our wealth. We're speaking about one of the largest gates of shaitan, which is wealth. And then we went into speaking about israf and tabdir. One hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-iqtisadu fi nafaqati nisful ma'isha. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, good economics is half of your sustenance. This hadith. Good economics, you know, there's a friend of mine. His father is one of our teachers. And mashallah, I know them to be quite simple in their living. Despite which, alhamdulillah, they're able to get through in life. Travel quite frequently throughout the Haramain every year almost. And mashallah. And I know that they don't have much of an income. I asked him one day, I said, like, how do you guys do it? We were still young at that time. You could ask questions like that. And I got him, I don't get how it works. You got some kind of hidden kind of treasure under your house or some kind of source that we're unaware of. And he said, my father always told us this hadith and he lives by it. Al-iqtisadu fi nafaqati nisful ma'isha. Moderation is in spending is half of your sustenance. This is a hadith. Moderation in spending is half of your sustenance. Good economics is nisful ma'isha. That's half of your sustenance. Now, everyone's level of spending, everyone's level of need is different. I mentioned earlier, Islam is not a socialist religion where everyone's the same. Your needs are different to your neighbor's need, to your family's need, to your brother's need, to your sister's needs. Our needs are all different. Once a man was wearing tattered clothes, and the Prophet ﷺ called him aside. He said, why are you dressed like this? Don't you have any money? He goes, I've got loads of money. He said, don't dress like this then. Allah, if Allah has blessed somebody, Allah wants to see that blessing on you. Allah doesn't want to see you in tattered clothes if Allah has blessed you with wealth. So if we begin by this equation, it's going to really help us. What's the equation? The equation is this. More money doesn't always equal more happiness. More money doesn't always equal more happiness. And in regards to israf, the easiest thing to do is you need to know you. Don't look at other people. Everyone's different. You need to know you. You need to know and differentiate between what's your need and what's your want. How much do you need and what's beyond that? You need to be vigilant and know about yourself. We stop looking about other people, and as long as, like, if 40k is good for you and your family, that's fine. We don't look at someone, oh, they're on 100k. Is 40k working for you and your family? Yes, alhamdulillah, that's fine. But if we keep looking, oh, they're on 120, they're on 150, that's fine. Maybe that's not even enough for them. What's working for you? Look at you. Look at you, look at your family. If it's working for you, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, keep going. But once we start looking at everybody else and trying to see our life through their lens, then we're always going to be miserable. And shaitan wants us to be like this. Now, once Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he encouraged people to spend in the path of Allah. Both these sahaba, they went home to bring some wealth in charity. This was a day when Umar radiallahu anhu was doing quite well in his business. So he thought to himself, today I'm going to win Abu Bakr. There was always a healthy competition, like beating each other to the front saf, right? Being the first one to reach the Messenger of Allah. This is good, healthy competition. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ People should compete in good matters. So Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu both bought from home however much wealth they wanted to give on that day. Interestingly, on that day, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't ask Abu Bakr, how much did you bring? Omar, how much did you bring? No. He switched the question around. A very unexpected question. Nobody has ever asked this before. He said, Abu Bakr, how much did you leave behind? Omar, how much have you left behind? As soon as he asked the question, Omar thought, you know what? I'm done over now. I'm done already. What did Abu Bakr say? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, O Prophet of Allah, I've left half of my wealth behind. Meaning, from all of my total assets, I bought half of everything that belongs to me. Omar radiallahu anhu said, on that day I realized I can never beat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But the thing is, the point of mentioning this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam accepted that wealth from Abu Bakr. He knew, Abu Bakr knew himself. And the Prophet knew him. So he actually took that wealth. He allowed him to spend half of his assets in the path of Allah. On the contrary, Battle of Tabuk, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made an announcement, we need funds, we need funds. One sahabi, he comes with an egg size of gold. And he gave it to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took it and he threw it back onto him. Some say even hit him. And you might think, whoa, that's harsh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said, he says, what is wrong with people? People are giving charity and then tomorrow they're going to go around begging people. He knew his condition. He knew that one egg worth of gold was too much for him. He wasn't supposed to give it in charity. That was too. Abu Bakr gave half of his wealth. The Prophet accepted it knowing that was okay for him to give. So you need to know you. It's not what about someone else is doing. It's about you. You need to know you and understand from there where you are going beyond your limits and you are making israf. Basically, find your middle ground. Be true to yourself. Don't compare yourself with other people. Now, there was a person by the name of Tha'laba. Ibn Kathir has mentioned this. A person by the name of Tha'laba. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, O Messenger of Allah, make dua, Allah gives me wealth. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, you know what, that's not good for you, you know. So he went. Second time he comes, O Messenger of Allah, make dua, Allah gives me wealth. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it's not going to be good for you. So he went. He comes back the third time, O Messenger of Allah, make dua for me, Allah gives me wealth. Now because he's insisted three times, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes dua that Allah grants him wealth. What happens now? That the goats that Tha'laba had, they started to grow in number. From one he went to five, from five he went to 20, and now he's got too many goats. Remember, up until now he was a person that was five times in the masjid, always there. Now because he's got too many goats, neighbors said, you can't live here, you've got too many goats, you need to move to the outskirts. Go and live a bit further away from Masjid Nabawi. Now he's gone further away, instead of being there five times a day, he was only there once a day in the masjid. And then he started to grow and he got a whole valley of goats. He had to move even further out. And from being five times to once a day, to once a week, to once a month, to he stopped coming to the masjid altogether. So much so, that when somebody went to him to collect the zakat, he said, I'm not going to give it. This is difficult. This is how difficult it became. So, remember the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma ja'al rizqa ala Muhammadin quta. Oh Allah, make the sustenance and the rizq of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his family just enough. Now we're going to end. I'm just going to mention what leads to israf. Because we've spoken about all of this. Now we need a conclusion. And we need to understand, where do we need to be vigilant? What are the action points we need to put in place? I'm just going to mention 5 points, inshallah, and then we will have Qiyamul Layl. Number one, what leads to israf and extravagance? Number one, jahal. jahal, ignorance. If you don't attend this session, right, if we don't attend these kind of lessons, then we will have jahal, we'll have ignorance. We won't know what israf is. We won't know what tabdhir is. We won't know what the Quranic injunctions are in regards to our spending. So what we've learned today, we need to become Muslims are people that are conscious. Muslims are people that are conscious. Why? Because on the day of judgment, the first thing Allah will ask about you is your salah. The second thing Allah will ask about you is your wealth. How did you earn it? Where did you spend it? So we have to be conscious. We cannot let ignorance stop us from doing the right thing. So number one, jahal. Number two, the second reason why some people are people who are israf and extravagant is because you come from an extravagant household. You grow up in a household where everyone around you is quite extravagant. They're spenders. So you need to control yourself. You need to look at yourself. See, divide between what are your needs, what are your wants, and take a middle path. There's nothing wrong with spending. It's when it becomes extravagant, and especially when we start spending in haram, the Quran says, those who are the mubadhirin, they are the brothers of shaitan. Number three, when wealth comes after poverty, when you've not had anything at all for a long time, and then all of a sudden it starts coming in. Some of us, we don't know what to do with it. And that's when we go crazy. So this is the test. And the Sahaba say, we were tested with poverty. And that was easy. When Allah tested us with the dunya and with wealth, we found that really, really hard. We found it really hard. And some of us didn't do very well. Number four, people engage in israf and extravagance when we are oblivious of the hereafter, oblivious of the akhirah. We're not mindful that we're going to have to answer for all of this on the day of judgment. So one of the cures of this is for us to read up about what's going to happen in the grave, what's going to happen on the day of judgment, the fact that we have to all stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and answer, where did we earn and where have we been spending? It's not just my money, my wealth, I can do whatever I want with it. That's not how it works. It's a blessing from Allah, and Allah is going to ask. Allah is going to question about him. And number five, hanging around with extravagant people. If your friend circle, if your associates are people who just splash out all the time, then you might have to change your company for a while. Just for a short period. Just so that you can come onto track and become moderate in your spending. Otherwise, if we're not talking about spending in necessities. We're not talking about those people, you know, we're not saying to become miserly or stingy. We're speaking about people who become extravagant, go way beyond the limits. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mar'u ala dini khalilihi, falyandhur man yukhalil." A person is on the religion of his friend. Whatever your friends will do, that will rub off onto you as well. So you need to see where your associates are. So wealth, in conclusion, is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We spoke about not wasting it. Israf is spending excessively in halal. Tabdhir is spending in that which is haram. And remember, this is connected to the blessings of Allah. And shaitan wants you to waste Allah's blessings. And we don't want to be the siblings of shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to understand. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.